Good afternoon and welcome from a very, very warm Shaby. At some point, everyone who creates things has been asked about either donating things that they make for charity or have a store at charity event. So this week's podcast, episode 5, is my thoughts and musings on charity and crafting. The main reason that many people have a favourite charity is down to a personal connection. And this is probably the main reason that most people give. It's that connection and empathy. People often donate to causes that hold a personal significance or have affected them or the loved ones directly. For example, if someone has a family member or friend who's been through an impact by a specific health condition, they may choose to put charities working in that area. The CAF UK Giving Report 2020 highlighted that personal connections, experiences and empathy play a role in driving charitable givings. If hubby sees someone from the Salvation Army out collecting, he will basically run people over and make a beeline towards them to donate. As he says, for them, they were literally a lifesaver. When he was out on basic training or manoeuvres, he would come out of the jungle in the middle of nowhere in Australia and there would be a Salvation Army truck with a steaming cup of tea and an Anzac biscuit. Following on from this, probably the secondary reason that people give to charity is through altruism and social responsibility. We're often motivated by genuine desire to help others and to make a positive impact on society. They feel a sense of responsibility towards those less fortunate and believe that the impact of giving back is quite important. The Charities Aid Foundation, CAF UK Giving Report in 2020, found that altruistic reasons, such as wanting to make a difference and helping people in need, were significant motivations for charitable giving. When I started the Travelling Haberdashery, most of my events are on a Saturday. So if I had a good event, I would donate money the next day to the church's flower fund or made a deposit into my microfunding account. When I joined Lend With Care, and I've put a link into this in the notes for the podcast, it was back in 2018. My first donation of £15 was made to Tay, who was located in Vietnam. She wanted $700 in order to buy a second buffalo so that she could increase the cultivation of her land. Over the next year, she paid back that loan in two payments. Whilst a donation of £15 might not seem like much to us, the total loan that she was looking for was about half her annual income. Most of the loans are repaid monthly, with 50p coming in each month from the borrowers. I've got 5 active loans at the moment and I check in every few months to see how they're doing. As soon as there's £15 back in my lending account, I offer it to another small business. Since I've started, I reinvested the payments back in and added a little extra here and there. In all, I've made 22 loans and helped 45 entrepreneurs. But more than that, they encourage businesses asking for loans to talk about their families. So you have an idea that in all, I've helped 227 people that are linked to those small business owners. In addition, these people have created 14 jobs from being able to increase their business. The other reason that's been often highlighted for giving are the tax benefits and financial incentives. Now, on a corporate level, there are great tax advantages for giving. But on the personal level, employees are often offered matching services and schemes where every pound you donate, then your employer will match accordingly. For us ordinary people, there's still a tax advantage to giving that's often forgotten about. For every pound that I earn here in the UK and gets put into my bank account, I've paid tax on it. Qualifying organisations in the UK can benefit from gift aid. There'll be something similar in the country you're in. When you donate, you complete a gift aid dedication and declaration. Then once a year, the organisation can claim back the tax that you've paid. This makes the pound that you donate worth £1.25 to the charity. With financial incentives should not be the sole motive for giving, they can act as a supplementary factor. Research conducted by the National Council for Voluntary Organisations, NCVO, in 2015 found that tax benefits and the desire to give something back were again key drivers for individuals in higher income brackets. I always remember a saying from the Talmud, which paraphrases as the reward for doing a good deed is the opportunity to do another good deed. When we give to charity, we give without knowing the actual recipient of our kindness. It isn't that this makes the act more pure, it's just different to giving to somebody you know. Often when we give to a specific charity or a disaster appeal, we're acknowledging that we cannot raise all the money that's needed, but we help by just adding a little to make that bigger come true. I suppose here the parable of the widow's mite, where someone who has a little gives all that they can, has the basis of why microfunding is such a fantastic concept. It's also why the annual Blue Peter campaigns of my childhood to collect milk bottle foil caps was such a cool concept. They meant that regardless of your social economical status, you could participate in the giving. As a child whose parent expected quid pro quo for every kindness shown, my way of growing out of that narcissism was to overcompensate and give my everything to people until there was nothing left. Some time ago, I was talking about acts of kindness with my sister. She said something that stuck with me. For her, as a parent, you show your children kindness in order to teach them what kindness looks like, so they learn that this is something that you do. The kindness that my parents showed wasn't exactly kindness. It was for him, my father, it was transactional. I do something nice for you, you now owe me. This is different to something to give back. Many of us have favourite charities that we give to, be it money or time. Often they're close to our hearts because they were there for us or a family member during a particularly difficult time. A friend of my mum, Ginny, spent her last 6 months raising money for Macmillan because she wanted to give back for all the care and support she received when she was diagnosed. In her mind, she worked out how much she'd cost them to support her, and then she tripled it as a target she wanted to raise before she died. At one of the last events that she held, I was talking to a wonderful Macmillan nurse who had come to talk to us about the work they do. She remarked that whilst the money was essential for carrying on the work they do, every event that Ginny held was an advert for the work that they were doing. In her way, she was spreading knowledge about the charity by touching the lives of everyone she brought to the events. Since we moved, I've met two amazing people who, if I'm honest, have been the source of my musings this week. Betsy is a prolific creator of jams and preserves and grower of plants. All of these, she joins with Yvonne on our Town Green Centre and other markets to sell, and the profits that she makes go to charity. To be honest, most of the cost goes to charity. What she takes out is the cost of sugar so that she can make the jams, and a little bit towards some of the fruits. Yvonne, who she does the events with, is a serial knitter. I have a feeling she was probably born clasping a pair of knitting needles and some four-ply yarn saying, oh, what can I make next? She is the creator of the famous pterodactyl, who I've mentioned before, and Mavis the sheep. Yvonne is on a mission to create wonderful knitted animals, blankets, dog coats, you name it. And all the money that she gets from selling for these goes to a number of animal charities and shelters. Now, what makes Yvonne so inspiring is that firstly, she chooses small local charities. She has a couple close to where we live and one further south where she used to live. They all have a personal connection to her as she's got her dogs from there or they're grown close to them over the years. These are places where the money raised will make a massive difference to them. Secondly is the pricing. Yvonne sets a price to a point that people can afford what she's making. In effect, she's donating both the cost of the yarn and her time to make these things. I admit this is not a business model to run a company on, but this is the important part. She isn't running a company. She isn't trying to monetarise her hobby. She's trying to give back to places that she feels very strongly about the care they do. If you're a small child and you see a fluffy unicorn that you want to have, there's nothing going to stop you. You're going to grab that uniform and shout, it's so fluffy. So being able to buy at a price that works for mum, gran, or the kid is important. She then gives the whole of the price to the charity. Her donation that goes with that money is the cost of the yarn, along with her time to make the item and then attend local markets and sell those things. I find being around Yvonne so inspiring. Her whole thought process as to what she's going to create is really interesting. And there's many small businesses who could certainly take lessons from her. She absolutely knows her market. She completely understands who she's selling to. She also creates different things for different market days. An animal-orientated item if she's at a shelter, more general things for the town markets. Now, I'm never going to knit a pterodactyl. Well, let's say I'm 98% sure I'm not going to. But every time I think of him, his little orange loveliness, I absolutely smile. And for me, the payback for creating is that smile when you think about the things you've made. This week on Great British Sewing Bee, the catwalk challenge was to create an article of clothing from crochet blankets. I expect in the short term this will cause all non-crocheters to flock to the local charity shops and buy blankets for sale. Because they've been out of vogue for so long, a lot of these items were going to landfill or to clothing wholesalers who would then shred them and turn them into new items. It's such a shame that the hours of work that go into creating a blanket were then lost. In the short term, I expect the prices of blankets will go through the roof while they're winning on the back of this, and then at some point, it'll bottom out because people won't want to pay what's being asked and will go through the cycle again. But at least if they're going to the shop and buying that blanket, then that's bringing revenue in. It would be better if people took up knitting and crocheting, but that might stretch the Renaissance a little too far. So, as my final muse here, what about when you get asked to attend a charity event and take a table to sell your things? For me, I'd rather offer to donate a raffle prize. In the past, I've given something I've made, or I've offered a workshop for people to come and learn a skill. Even with big events I've done with the travelling haberdashery and that have been commercial, many of them have not been well publicised. Without good publicity and footfall, these events can end up costing you money. Often small charity sales just don't get enough people through the door. In a recent post on Reddit, one person talked about how they agreed to attend a charity tabletop sale. They'd spent weeks creating stock to take with them. Got a tablecloth, bags to put the items in, even got themselves a card reader so that they could take card payments over cash in case that's how people wanted to pay. When they got there, they were the only seller. After a number of hours when nobody came through the door, she informed the organiser she was packing up an hour early and going home. After the cost of the table, travelling and paying for her lunch and drinks, she was very much out of pocket. I did a similar sale a few years ago. There were 10 vendors and basically nobody came in. The little I did sell was to the other sellers as we'd gone round and bought from each other. To add insult to injury, there was a guy in the entranceway to the church hall who'd been singing out very badly out of tune Elvis songs using his karaoke machine and rattling his bucket at anyone that walked past, asking for a donation. After he'd been there and we were packing up, he added insult to injury because he went round each of the vendors demanding quite aggressively money for his charity for entertaining us all morning. After being rude to the first few vendors for them only offering a few coins, most of them had no notes that they'd not taken any money. I have to admit I used one of my mum's lines and told him that I only gave to my favourite personal charities. And he wasn't one of them. He was incredibly shocked and scurried off to go and terrorise the next victim in line. The lady next door to me had been chatting with me all day, and she used the same line on him as well. as did the rest of the people in the hall. I left with an absolutely splitting headache, vowing never to do this again, and promptly went and added a tenner to my small Lenwith care account to microfinance another small entrepreneur. No. With the current economic climate, we have to accept that any donation to a charity is a godsend and cannot be expected. It's hard to find a tenner for a charity when your weekly shopping bill has gone up 20 quid. Even harder to look at the big national charities and think about how much they pay for wages and how little of what you get eventually filters down to the cause. This is why I often give my time to charities, because running a workshop on GDPR for the Heritage Craft Association is something that I can do with ease, but would cost them far more than a small donation from me. And also why Mavis, the knitted sheep, is going to make a child very happy and buy rescued animal food for a week or so. Have a great weekend. Speak to you all soon.